Welcome back to the show. Got lots to talk about today. Going to be talking about the entire DCEU, which is the DC Extended Universe. Always hated that name, to be honest. But that's basically all the movies from Man of Steel, which came out back in 2013, to Birds of Prey, which came out earlier this year. I'm also going to be reviewing the latest episode of The Mandalorian, as well as talking about Season 2 as a whole. Because the latest episode, for those of you who don't know, was the finale of Season 2. So, yeah, going to be talking about all that and more. So, stay tuned.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Right off the bat, just going to go ahead and talk about a bunch of movie news. If you remember, last week I talked about the Disney Investor Day, where there was a bunch of Star Wars, Marvel, Disney, Pixar news. And one of the things I talked about was the third Ant-Man, titled Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And if you remember, I said that there were a couple new castings. Specifically, the one that I'm talking about today, they're receiving a little bit of backlash because they recasted the character of Cassie Lang. Catherine Newton will now be playing that character, and Emma Furman was the one that played it in Endgame, the one that played her in Endgame. Apparently, she wasn't notified that her character was being recasted until she basically had to find out with everybody else, which is pretty messed up, not gonna lie. I guess I kind of understand the decision of recasting her, but at the same time, it's like, that's kind of just like a big slap in the face. But hey, it's Disney, they can do whatever the fuck they want, I guess, so no matter who they hurt in the process. Because that's how billion-trillion-dollar companies go. It's not personal, it's just business. Obviously, Catherine Newton is much more well-known than Emma Furman, because that's just the way it goes sometimes. But yeah, I guess I'm not furious about this, but I'm a little ticked, just because, I don't know, that really does seem like a dick move to not even, you know, tell the person who is playing that character that they're going to recast it. I mean, it's one thing to have the time jump, but at the same time, like, both actresses pretty much look like they could be the same age, so there's really not much of a time jump there, if I'm being honest. So yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait to see what they do in the movie, but yeah. Some people are kind of pissed about that. Next, Marvel and Sony extend the deal for Spider-Man. So that means that Spider-Man will still be in the MCU. And apparently, he's going to have another trilogy, which is pretty cool. And there's also maybe going to be some Disney Plus TV shows kind of having to do with Spider-Man in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Miles Morales or something like that. That's kind of what I speculated a little bit. But, yeah, and also he's supposed to be a bigger, more important character moving forward, kind of, you know, a Captain America or Iron Man in this instance. Kind of going to be like one of the main MCU roles, I guess, or characters. Which I am very much happy with, because Spider-Man, if you guys don't know, is my favorite superhero. So, yeah, I'm happy to hear that he's staying at Marvel. Also, on the note of Spider-Man, apparently, and I think this is just a rumor right now, but Sandman played by Thomas Hayden Church from the third Spider-Man movie, directed by Sam Raimi. And Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin might appear in Spider-Man 3. We already know that people like, you know, Alfred Molina as Doc Ock will return. We know that Jamie Foxx will return as Electro. So yeah, this is just adding on to the already packed slate of characters that are going to be in this movie. It's kind of a joke that I like to say, but it's like, damn, Tom Holland really is just, you know, not going to have any room to be in his own movie. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I just hope they balance it well, because Sony has a track record of, you know, going too big too quick. I do think they had quite a bit of setup for it, and I think that with Marvel, you know, working with them, I think they'll find a way to balance all of this craziness into one movie. Well, technically it'll kind of be over three movies. The events of Spider-Man 3 with Tom Holland, and the events of WandaVision, the Disney Plus show coming out early January, all those events are connected to Doctor Strange 3, titled Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We also know that Wanda herself, Wanda Maximoff, played by Elizabeth Olsen, will be in Doctor Strange 3. We already kind of knew that she would be a big part in that early on, but they now confirmed it. And she's in London, I believe, right now, filming for it. So that's pretty cool. Next piece of news here. Disney didn't announce this during the Disney Investor Day. I thought it was kind of cool. I've never seen any of the Predator films, but this is just a little bit of Predator movie news. They're making a reboot, and it's going to be directed by the director of 10 Cloverfield Lane. Looks like his name is Dan Trachtenberg. Hopefully I'm saying that right. I've seen bits and pieces of 10 Cloverfield Lane. Not a huge fan of it, to be honest, but I liked the art style of it, I guess. The cinematography and all that. I thought it looked very good, but just wasn't really all there for me, I guess. I definitely prefer the original Cloverfield, which I thought was quite a good movie. But yeah, there's a little bit of Predator news for you guys. Again, haven't seen the Predator movies, but you know there's people out there that like those movies and stuff, so wanted to kind of share that. But yeah, basically it's going to be Disney and 20th Century Studios, which used to be 20th Century Fox, obviously, and it's going to be under that 20th Century Studios, what's the word I'm looking for? Rather than being like, you know, Disney's Predator, it's going to be 20th Century Studios Predator. Yeah, that's basically how they're going to do, like, their more edgy adult stuff. They're going to release it through that studio, I guess, which I don't mind. Let me see. Avatar 3 wraps filming, even though we haven't even gotten the second one. There you go. Third one's done filming. I really did not care for the first one, so not that excited for it, but I know it's a big deal, so that's why I wanted to say it. So yeah, there you go. We'll get those movies eventually. Yeah, I think we were supposed to get the second one this year at some point, or like soon, but obviously that's not happening. But that shit's been delayed so many times, so we'll see what ends up when it ends up coming out. I think he had planned like 4 or 5 movies. It's just like, dude, at least make a good sequel and then we'll go from there. Like, I don't know. Just don't go too big too quick. Kind of like what the dark universe or whatever it was fucking called for Universal to do like the Mummy and shit like that, which completely just flopped because of how bad the Mummy was, the newer one that came out with Tom Cruise. Speaking of Tom Cruise, holy crap, he kind of went on a furious rant on the set of Mission Impossible 7. For those of you who don't know, Tom Cruise took on a big part of the making of Fast and Furious. The making of Mission Impossible 7. He rented out like a whole cruise ship for all the cast and crew to stay on. And he's pretty much, I think he is producing it. If not one of the producers. But yeah, he's been working his ass off apparently, trying to make sure that, you know, filming doesn't get halted for any reason. Yeah, honestly, right now, like, they're a big kind of example of making movies during a pandemic, and showing that it can be done and should be done and will be done. And so I respect him for that for sure. And a lot of people with this kind of tirade he went on, a lot of people are pretty much on his side. And I gotta say that I am too, but at the same time, I have a small inclination, hopefully that's the right word I'm searching for, that it might have been kind of staged, but, I don't know. That's, yeah, I'm not sure. There were a few articles saying that it might have been kind of, you know, not staged, but like kind of glamorized and just kind of put out there to make him look good. But I don't know. We'll listen to the video, the recording in a second here. And, you know, you guys can make your own opinions on it. But yeah, I mean, He's speaking a lot of truth. But apparently he went on a second rant, and 5 members of the crew quit after that. Don't know how true that is, but I was seeing a few articles saying that. So I mean, yeah. Sometimes yelling is the only way to get through to people, as bad as it is. But, I mean, hey, again, you'll just have to make your own opinion and all that. I would love to hear what you guys think on it. If you disagree with me, go ahead and send me a direct message over on Instagram. I'm at pop_culture_podcast. Go shoot me a message there if you want to have a conversation about this or anything I talk about on the podcast, really. I would love to hear from you guys. But yeah, if you have a different opinion than me on this, saying that I honestly kind of agree with him and sympathize in a way, and see where he's coming from, but other people might not think that. So without further ado, let's go into listening to this audio recording of Tom Cruise going off on the set of Mission Impossible 7.
We are the gold standard. You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing. I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers. And they're looking at us and using us.
Sorry to pause it, but I hope that's not too loud for you guys. But if it is, you know, just turn your shit down. You know. I can't necessarily hear how loud it is, so.
To make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs. I don't ever want to see it again. Ever. And if you don't do it, you're fired. And I see you do it again, you're fucking gone. And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you. Don't you ever do it again.
I literally just want to see who the fuck he's pointing at and like see their faces like, what the fuck did I do? Like, Corey Coleman on Double Toasted kind of made that joke when they were listening to this. He was like, you and fucking you. And he's like, the fuck did I do? But geez, I mean, part of me wonders if he was just making an example out of somebody, even though they didn't do anything, but just that one guy is like, what the fuck did I do? I don't know. But yeah, sorry to keep pausing this. Is that it? Pretty sure. Yeah, still says there's more. Pretty sure that was it. Hold up. Let me make sure there's nothing else after that. That's what I think. Maybe it's not over. Sorry, I'm just still... Movies are going because of us. If we shut down, it's going to cost people their fucking jobs, their home, their family. That's what's happening. Damn. That really does make you think, though. Like, as... Damn. And he's saying now, and I care about you guys, but if you're not going to help me, you're gone. Like, shit, dude. I mean, I don't fucking blame him. I don't. There's certain points in this where I'm like, all right, dude, chill. But, like, for the most part, I'm just like, yeah, I agree with him. You know, if you're, you gotta follow certain protocols, even if you don't fucking believe in them, because that's what's expected of you. And if you can't do what's expected of you, then the fuck is the point? I don't know. Yeah, that was reported by The Sun, who officially labeled Johnny Depp as a wife beater. So, yeah, that's all cool. but, yeah, there's that for you guys. So if you didn't hear it before, you heard it now. Yeah, that was something. And just listening to that, like, a second time, just like... Damn. I agree with him more and more the more I listen to it. Because yeah, like, shit, dude. It's not just you that's gonna lose your job if something gets fucked up. If somebody catches COVID and production gets shut down. It's gonna be fucking everybody. You're ruining it for everybody because, you know. And I don't know what exactly sparked this. If it was somebody not wearing a mask, or, you know, whatever it might be, just come on, people. Like, it's really not that hard to fucking just do what's asked of you by, you know. I also understand questioning authority. I don't think that you should always blindly follow whatever authority says. But when it comes to shit like this, just fucking listen to them and stop spreading conspiracy theories about, oh, they're trying to take away our rights and shit like that. Like, sorry I'm getting fucking political on this. I'm sure there's people out there that don't agree with me, and that's fucking fine. But at the end of the day, I honestly just think you're being selfish if you walk into a fucking store without a mask on these days. It's like, the fuck is wrong with you? And I still see that shit. Like, I live in Michigan, and I still see that shit, dude. And it's fucking ridiculous. But, you know, there's always gonna be people that don't fucking listen, that don't, you know, that do the opposite of what's told of them, because that's just what they like to do. They question authority. They, you know, at every opportunity they get, they revolt as if they're the head of some sort of, you know, movement that's going to change the world for not wearing a goddamn mask. Are you shitting me, dude? You think you're going to change the world by not wearing a mask? Then you're fucking stupid. And maybe you don't think that, you know? I'm sure a lot of the anti-mask people don't think that, you know, them not wearing a mask is going to change the world. Like, but what do they think it's going to do? I mean, at the end of the day, all that's going to really happen is, you know, whoever owns that business is going to ask you to leave. And then either you can be polite about it, or you can ask, or you can act like a lot of the anti-maskers that you see online and make a big hissy fit about it because you think that your life is more important than everybody else's. So, I'm always, you know, a firm believer in, you know, you're number one. You take care of you first and all that. I think that's very important to look out for yourself before others in a lot of circumstances, because at the end of the day, you're the one living in your body, and it does matter what happens to you, and it doesn't necessarily matter what happens to the people around you, but it can affect your life. And I don't know. Sorry for going on that rant. At least I'm not screaming at people like Tom Cruise, but I mean, I get where he's coming from for sure. I don't necessarily think that yelling is the best thing to do, but if you're in the situation where people just repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again just can't seem to, I don't know, follow a simple rule as wearing a mask or fucking staying 6 feet away from people. Like, come on. The 6 feet away from people is kind of, you know, I understand not fully doing that just because, like, how can you really know at all times if somebody's 6 feet away from you? Unless you're that kind of person who can just, like, visually see distance. But if you're that kind of person, then kudos to you. But I'm not. I don't know, man. I agree with him. And I think there were more things that he said that I agree with than things that he said I didn't agree with. In fact, I think there are quite a few things that he's... I don't think there were really any things that he said that I disagreed with. So, to an extent, him kind of freaking out about, like, people paying their college tuition and all that and paying for their children, I get it. But at a certain point, it's like, you're working in fucking Hollywood, right? Like, don't you make a bunch of money? I guess that's kind of, what's the word? I'm only assuming that, like, I'm sure a lot of filmmakers and workers in Hollywood are vastly underpaid. But shit, like, when he was saying that, I'm like, what about you, dude? You're fine. But at the same time, that's him looking out for other people, so good on him for not being one of those actors that, you know, once they have all that money and power, you know, the people around them, they can't be bothered with, you know? So yeah, good on him for that. All right, that is all the news I have for today. Hope you guys had fun with that. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about a couple of TV shows here. I got one that came out on Netflix a few days ago, I think. It's called Schultz Saves America: Pandemics, Predators, Protests, and Presidents. And what this is a four-part series in the style of SNL's Weekend Update. But if Weekend Update wasn't on television, and therefore you could say whatever the fuck you want, because, you know, it's not live television. Although, to be honest, it's rarely ever live with that shit. So, yeah. Even though it's called Saturday Night Live, it's rarely, if ever at all, is live. So, yeah. But, yeah, this show was really fun. I laughed at this a whole fucking lot. And basically it's, if you don't know who Schultz is supposed to be, it's Andrew Schultz, who you might know as a stand-up comedian. He's been on the Joe Rogan podcast a bunch, I think. Pretty sure he has his own podcast with, Charlamagne from Breakfast Club. I might be mistaken, but I think my friend Dallas told me that. Yeah, I think that's true. But, yeah, he's a funny guy. I've never really listened to his comedy. I think I've seen him on Joe Rogan's podcast once or twice, but never really looked into his shit. But damn, he is funny as fuck in this. I seriously highly recommend this. They're about, like, probably like 20 minutes tops each. Probably not even that. Maybe like 16, 13 minutes. So they're really not long, but God, they're so fun. He basically just pokes fun at, like, Jeffrey Epstein, fucking Donald Trump, even Joe Biden a little bit, probably. I can't remember all of it, just because I only watched it through once and wasn't paying the most attention to it because I was hanging out with Dallas. So, yeah, it's not like I was 100% glued to the screen when I'm hanging out with a friend. But, yeah, we both really enjoyed this. He showed me the trailer for it on YouTube, and I was like, well, shit, I kind of want to watch this. And we saw that it came out on Netflix the day of. So we were like, shit, let's watch it. Watched all four parts, and hell yeah, dude. Again, it's like Weekend Update from Saturday Night Live, which is basically just like a comedy news show. So, yeah, Weekend Update's definitely my favorite segment on SNL, for sure. As well as a lot of people, probably. That's definitely like their most successful kind of common thing that they do. Although, if I think about it, they really don't do a whole lot that's, like, tradition, you know? Like, Weekend Update's kind of the only segment on there I feel like is consistently there. And I don't watch it all the time, so maybe it's not there every week, but I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, I fucking love Colin Jost, Michael Che. Seth Meyers was the previous Weekend Update hosts. I don't remember all of them, but I only remember a couple off the top of my head. But yeah, Seth Meyers basically got his late night show off of doing Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. So, yeah, I mean, he's great. I'm not like the biggest Seth Meyers fan, but you know, what I see of him, I usually enjoy. I think he's a pretty funny guy. But next show I want to talk about, The Mandalorian Season 2. So I'm going to be getting into heavy spoilers, but not quite yet. So just hang on. For those of you who don't want to hear spoilers, I'm going to be talking about non-spoiler stuff for a bit, and then I will tell you when to skip ahead to, and yeah, that way you don't have anything spoiled, because not everybody watches it the day of or the day after, so no shame on you for that. If you're busy or whatever, got shit going on, can't watch an episode, or if you're saving it for some reason, don't blame me there either. I was debating on waiting for all the episodes to be out and just binge it all at once, but I was like, I can't wait. So yeah, I've been watching week by week. Didn't go back and watch it all through as a whole, you know, just binge. So keep that in mind with my review. I watched this week by week. But yeah, basically this season was fucking great, dude. I thought last season was going to be hard to top, and they definitely topped it with this one, with a bunch of just Easter eggs and crazy fight scenes and just so many great character moments, too. Obviously, you got Baby Yoda in there. Everybody loves Baby Yoda. And you got the Mando himself. Man, best dad of the year, too. Actually, he's kind of a babysitter in a way. Less a babysitter, more a dad for sure. But he kind of reminds me of Steve from Stranger Things, just the way that he, like, kind of became the mom. But, yeah, this season was great for sure. Really not entirely sure where it's going to go next. It set up a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I just don't know what to expect. Because, you know, even last season, they kind of set up some stuff and didn't exactly go how I thought it would this time. Or didn't exactly go how I thought it would once season two finally came around. So, yeah, there were definitely a lot of surprises in there. A lot of surprises. A lot of things I didn't expect. A couple things I did expect, but were still fucking cool when they happened. But yeah, mostly I'm kind of here to talk about the spoilers other than the non-spoiler review. So sorry to those of you who don't want it spoiled, but that's kind of all the review you're going to get. Because there's just so much to talk about in terms of spoiler talk. And, honestly, if you haven't watched it by now, the fuck is wrong with you? No, but seriously, the fuck. So yeah, go ahead and skip to, let's just say, 35 minutes in. And I'll let you know at that 35 minute mark if I'm still talking spoilers. But yeah, holy shit, you've been warned. I'm gonna start talking spoilers right now. So this last episode was called Chapter 16, The Rescue. And in this starts off with Boba and the Slave One, as well as Mando, and the others. Well, they pick up, Bo-Katan and her friend. I can't remember her name now. And I literally just had it earlier. God damn it. I think it's like Koska Reeves or something like that. But yeah, they pick them up, to help them fight. Obviously Fennec is there and, Boba, I was about to say the child, but no, the child isn't there right now. They have to go get him. But yeah, basically the Slave One is going after an Imperial ship of some sort, like a kind of just like a smaller ship, which Dr. Pershing is in, which you should remember Dr. Pershing from early first season, as the doctor that was working with the client, and trying to get the child. But, yeah, they're going after him, end up docking his ship. That sounds sexual. And they end up sneaking on, well, not really sneaking. They end up posing as, like, Imperial people and get onto the ship, which Moff Gideon is on. Because, obviously, Mando has to go get his baby. But, yeah. Holy shit, this episode was full of just fucking great moments, dude. Like, honestly, this might be one of my favorite episodes. Just because of how fucking cool it was. This, I'm not gonna lie, this episode actually made me cry. Just because of how excited I was when, you know who showed up. Which, I know that, you know, this is the non-spoiler part. Or, not non-spoiler. I know that this is the spoiler part, but, I'm just saying you know who for now, because I'll get to that later. But, yeah, basically they get on the ship, and, the death, I think they're dark troopers, not death troopers. Yeah, they're definitely dark troopers. Basically they get turned on. That also sounds sexual. and they're gonna have to defend the ship, obviously. Mando ends up fighting one of them, puts up a hella good fight, dude. Uses the, oh shit, I always forget what they're called. The, like, whistling something, ugh. The little, like, rocket thingies that come out of his wrist. I always fucking forget the name of that. But, yeah, he uses that shit on it. That doesn't work. Uses the flamethrower. That doesn't work. The only thing that ends up working in the end is his, Beskar steel, spear. But, yeah, he had trouble fighting just one of them, so there's like a whole fleet. They get sucked out into space, though, and I knew that wasn't it for them. I was like, come on, dude, they're not dead. They're still kicking. The vacuum of space will not kill these robots. But, yeah, Mando ends up getting to where the child is at, and well, look who's there. Moff Gideon with the darksaber. Holding it right over Baby Yoda, as if to say, don't you fucking come any closer or else I'll chop this motherfucker's head off. Or slice him in half, whichever way he would want to do it. But Mando ends up saying, you know what? You have what you want, the darksaber. Also, you got Baby Yoda's blood. Moff Gideon says that. He's like, I got all the blood I need. You know what? Go ahead, take the child. Darksaber's all I want. And take the child, get out of here, and we can go our separate ways. But of course, Moff Gideon, that motherfucker, was lying. So Mando and Moff Gideon finally get like a good one-on-one fight, rather than Moff Gideon being in a TIE fighter and Mando on the outside of it. So, yeah, you get Mando with the Beskar steel spear versus Moff Gideon with the darksaber. And wouldn't you know it, Mando ends up winning the fight, but doesn't kill Moff Gideon, obviously, because that's not him. Even though he was a bounty hunter who killed a lot of people before. But, yeah, part of me was like, kill this motherfucker, please. But I get it. You know, Giancarlo Esposito is a very well-known, high-paid actor, and definitely a character you wouldn't want to kill off because, you know, he's great. But, yeah, basically they end up getting to the bridge of the ship. Mando has the darksaber and the child, and Bo-Katan sees this, and she's like, oh, fuck, because wouldn't you know it, the darksaber can only be won in combat. So technically, Mando is the owner of the darksaber now. So there's a little bit of conflict there. Moff Gideon tries to entice Bo-Katan into fighting Mando on the spot. Doesn't end up happening because all the dark troopers end up showing back up. End up having to fight those. Well, not quite. They start breaking through the door to the bridge. And at the last second, before they break in, who the fuck shows up? You hear a ping on the little thingy saying that there's a ship coming. And it's a fucking X-Wing. And I instantly knew who it was, but I was like in denial too. Because I heard the theory that Baby Yoda, or Grogu, when he was on the Singing Stone, one of the theories that was that, hey, it might be Luke that he ended up connecting with, and maybe Luke will show up. There was also a theory that it might be Cal Kestis from the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order game, which I hope they bring him into live action at some point, because I really like that character in that game. Or they said it could be, who's the other person? That one guy from Star Wars Rebels. I haven't watched that yet. I'm actually watching Clone Wars right now. I think it's Ezra, but yeah, there was another theory that could have been Ezra, but ended up being fucking Luke Skywalker himself. Comes in, fucking destroys a bunch of the, destroys all of the dark troopers, and oh my god. And then you got the kind of digitally altered, you know, younger Luke face, which there was some fan art going around. All right, 35 minutes. Still talking about spoilers, so skip ahead to 40 minutes for me. Sorry. Back to the spoilers. Shit, what was I just saying? Oh yeah, the digitally altered face of Mark Hamill to make him look like young Luke again, which didn't look that bad, honestly. It looked better than some of the other, CGI alters that they used in other films. But holy shit, this was just so crazy. And then R2 shows up, and you get Mando taking off his helmet so Grogu can actually see his face. And I wonder, I mean, like, most of the people in the background probably saw his face too, most likely. So it's like, shit, is that, you know, not showing your face rule just completely out the door now? Maybe, probably. I wouldn't be too surprised. And then you get the after credits, which has Boba showing up on Tatooine at Jabba's palace. I forget the guy's name, but he was in the original Star Wars trilogy, I think. Or wait, no, he was in Return of the Jedi, one of just Jabba's dudes. I, again, don't know the name of him, but I recognized him. So sorry about that. But basically, Fennec comes in, kills some bitches, lets a slave go, and then Boba comes in and shoots the dude that's running Jabba's palace, moves his body, takes the throne, and Fennec comes in, sits on his side, drinking a bottle of space whiskey or whatever the fuck it was. and then the title pops up, The Book of Boba Fett, coming December 2021. So I'm wondering if that's going to be The Mandalorian Season 3, or if it's going to be that as well as Mandalorian Season 3. I think that might be Season 3 of Mandalorian. I do think that Mando will come back, and that obviously, like, I don't think his story is over. I don't think Grogu's story is over. But yeah, they even set up like a bunch of shit still. So it's, I think that it might, there might be like The Mandalorian Season 3, except it's not going to be specifically about Mando. Because I guess you could argue that Boba isn't a Mandalorian, but also he kind of is, but like also kind of not. I don't know. It's a real gray area. So I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds. Man, what a way to wrap up a season for sure. Just seeing Luke. Oh my God. Yeah, the digitally altered face didn't throw me off too much, and they kept him hooded for a good majority of it too, so that it didn't bother me really. Not that like digitally altered to look younger usually bothers me. With like Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One, that didn't bother me. I mean, there is a bit of the Uncanny Valley. But by the way, if you guys don't know what Uncanny Valley is, look it up. It's basically just like, you know, if somebody's face is digitally altered, you can tell, even though like it might be really good digital effects, you could still kind of tell because there's something called, what the fuck did I just call it? Yeah. But basically that's that. If you ever want to, you know, use that in a conversation or just, yeah. Uncanny Valley. Yeah. Look it up. Shit. What's next? Don't know why I put my shit away. All right. Well, that's all I'm going to talk about in terms of Mandalorian Season 2 and kind of Mandalorian in general. Hope you guys enjoyed the second season as much as I did. Man, such a great season and such a great way to wrap up the season as well. Yeah, I had a great time watching it. I would have preferred to binge it all, but, you know, going week by week kind of makes you anticipate it a little bit more. So, yeah. All right, for those of you who skipped ahead, what's up? I'm done with spoilers. Let's talk about some DC movies. So first, 2013's Man of Steel, which is directed by Zack Snyder. And stars Henry Cavill as Clark Kent / Superman, Amy Adams as Lois Lane, Michael Shannon as General Zod, Diane Lane as Martha Kent. You got Russell Crowe as Jor-El, who's Kal-El's dad, Kal-El, who is Superman. You also got, let me look, Kevin Costner as Jonathan Kent. Who was the other one that I wanted to mention? Maybe that's all. But yeah. Obviously, most people know the story of Superman. He was born on Krypton. Krypton was being destroyed, so his parents sent him to Earth, you know, so he could survive. And he crashes on Earth, and the Kents take him in, Jonathan and Martha, and raise him as their own in Kansas. Grows up kind of knowing he is different from other kids. And man, there's just a lot of like really emotional things with his parents in this, specifically his dad. Any moment with his dad in this movie kind of had me emotional. This is definitely definitely my favorite DCEU movie by far. And one of my favorite superhero movies in general. I fucking love this movie. I've seen it a lot of times. I understand the complaint that there's too much destruction in it. But at the same time, you got these two fucking titans pretty much fighting each other in a city. What the fuck do you think is going to happen? Yeah, people are going to die. Buildings are going to fall. Because these guys are gods. But shit, you know. At least General Zod didn't win. Because if he did, everybody would be dead, not just, you know, a bunch of people in one city. But shit, dude, this movie was good as fuck. I really do love this movie. I mean, it's pretty much the classic story of Superman, you know, him being born on Krypton, coming to Earth, being raised on Earth by human parents, and then eventually, when he is older, an adult, he decides to start protecting Earth, because, you know, shit, you just gotta do it sometimes, man, especially if you got powers like that, kind of, you know, with Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, and that doesn't mean just because, and by that, when Uncle Ben said that, I took it more as, you know, you have a responsibility to do this because you can do this, not, you know, you have these powers, so you got to be responsible with them. It's more, you can do this, so, you know, do it. But obviously Uncle Ben didn't know Peter was Spider-Man, so, yeah. But next movie is Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, which came out in 2016. And I really fucking hated this movie the first time I saw it. I still kind of hate it, but a lot less now after rewatching it for a second time. Yes, I only watched it once in the theaters and never saw it again. Only clips from it, really. But, yeah, I fucking hated this movie the first time I saw it. Again, hate it a lot less now just because, you know, I wasn't as skeptical going in, I guess, because I already knew what to expect. But, obviously you have Ben Affleck coming in as Bruce Wayne / Batman. Got Henry Cavill coming in back as Superman. Jesse Eisenberg plays Lex Luthor, which, I gotta be honest, like, it's not the worst acting. And, you know, like, I'm sure a lot of people would say, like, he's a terrible Lex Luthor. Not that familiar with Lex Luthor, really. I never really watched, like, the Superman movies that much when I was a kid. I was definitely more of a Marvel fan, Spider-Man and all that, even when I was a kid. I also liked Batman quite a bit. But, yeah, I never really had, like, a huge attachment to that character. So, I guess I didn't mind it that much. But at the same time, I'm just like, shit. I hate the way this character fits into, like, all the movie, and it just, like, ugh, his lines are terrible, his fucking delivery is just, like, kooky, and fucking, he would be better as a Riddler, for sure, but, actually, my dream Riddler would definitely be Bill Hader, but yeah, you also got Jason Momoa coming in for a cameo as Aquaman, you have, Gal Gadot coming in, or Gal Gadot, as Wonder Woman / Diana Prince. She plays a pretty big part in this. Not as big as Batman and Superman, obviously, but she's definitely more than just a cameo. Then you also have Ezra Miller doing a cameo as The Flash / Barry Allen. And also, what's his name? I always forget. I'm bad with names sometimes. The guy that played fucking Cyborg. Where's that name? Jeez, there's a lot of names here. Ray Fisher, that's who it is. Yeah, Ray Fisher at Cyborg. That was just a cameo as well. I don't know. Having them put Doomsday in this and then having the death of Superman as well, it's just like, you tried to fit way too many fucking things into one movie, and it shows. And they were all also trying to, like, set up the fucking Justice League in one movie. It's like, you can't fucking do that in over the course of one movie, dude. You can't set all that shit up. Like, you can start to set it up, but it's gonna take you multiple movies. Look what Marvel did. Like, they built that shit up, and it paid off. You can't just fucking half-ass it, dude. Which is definitely what DC kind of did, at, you know, from Batman versus Superman on. And there's a few movies that I definitely like better than Batman v Superman, but most of them are pretty much on the same level as that movie for me. including the next movie I want to talk about, which is the Suicide, or not the Suicide Squad, that's coming out next year, Suicide Squad, which came out in 2016, which was directed by, let me see, written and directed by David Ayer. Stars Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flagg, Will Smith as Deadshot, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Jared Leto as the Joker, Viola Davis as Amanda Waller, Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang, Jay Hernandez as Diablo, and Cara Delevingne as June Moon / Enchantress. You also have I'm gonna butcher the fuck out of this name. Never mind. I'm not even gonna attempt it. Killer Croc is also in this. I cannot pronounce that for the life of me. Holy shit. And then Karen Fukuhara, who plays Katana, which you might know from The Boys. She plays Kamiko, I think that's her name in that. Something like that. But yeah, this movie is basically about a group of criminals who are tasked to basically save the world. The idea of it is like, what if Superman ripped off the roof of the Oval Office and took the president? Who would stop him? And so we got Task Force X, which is, you know, this team of rogues sent to go do, you know, pretty much a suicide mission in a way, led by Rick Flagg. And then you got Jared Leto again as the Joker, which a lot of people hate, including me. fuck, dude. I don't know. I don't know if it was just the writing or his acting or both, but fuck, Jared Leto really messed that shit up. That was bullshit. Fuck that version of the Joker. I hate to be so mean about it, but fuck, dude. It was so bad. I hate it so much. And I like the character of the Joker, but it's just like, shit, dude, you're starting to ruin it for me. But luckily they came back and made a good movie with Joker, with Joaquin Phoenix. And also you always have Heath Ledger as that character, so. This movie is just not great. It's on the same level as Batman v Superman for me. I mean, it's more fun than Batman v Superman, but, you know, having it be fun isn't the main thing that makes a movie good for me. Because there's a lot of flaws in this movie with, like, some of the CGI, definitely with the writing, and, there were a few moments as well that I noticed that they reused shots. It's just like, come on. It was kind of like for the introduction of the characters and shit like that, that they reused shots, but it's like, come the fuck on, you can't use new shots. Like, I don't know. Fuck this movie, to be honest. I'm looking forward to James Gunn actually making a good Suicide Squad movie. Sorry, I'm trying to keep my notes in order here. Next movie is, Wonder Woman, 2017. So this was the last movie to come out before Justice League. And to be honest, this movie would almost be perfect for me if it weren't for a little bit of the CGI, a little bit of the writing, and definitely the villain of the movie. That's another thing I forgot to mention about Suicide Squad. The villain was where it was lacking a lot, too. And that's kind of where a lot of these movies really fall off for me, is with the shitty villains that they have. The terrible, shitty, just CGI fucking whatever, you know. The thing I really love about Wonder Woman, though, aside from Gal Gadot's performance, because I think she's great, and also Steve Trevor, played by Chris Pine, love those two characters in this. especially Chris Pine. He's hilarious in this. Kind of dealing with her, Diana's culture shock of, you know, modern civilization, because she's from an island called Themyscira, full of badass warrior woman, has never seen a man, and also has never been to the real outside world. So yeah, a lot of culture shock moments that I found really funny. But overall, the thing I really liked about her was how she was just, you know, she was a hero because she couldn't sit back and watch, you know, bad shit happen. And that's definitely what I like about Superman and Man of Steel as well. Just the kind of heroes that do it because, not because they have to, or because they, something's in it for them, like having the villain of the movie, you know, be the person they have to fight, obviously. Other than, like, having it be for vengeance, or, you know, because they have to fight, it's because they know they can, and they can't sit back and watch bad things happen. So, I love that about her. I love that about Superman. And also another thing I love about this movie is that it is a period piece, which I'm a huge fan of anything set during World War II. I don't know why, I just kind of like that era for some reason. I always have. Always found it interesting, and really like movies that take place during that time period. Especially the first Captain America, the first Avenger. I liked that one a lot more than most people because of having it take place, you know, during that time. And not to say that I only like period pieces during that time, but yeah, I just really love anything set in that era. So yeah, that's a big reason why this one stands out for me above a lot of the other ones. But yeah, it's still not quite a tier movie for me. By the way, I will be doing a tier list of the DCEU. So look out for that. I actually might be doing a tier list of, like, the live-action DC movies as a whole. Also, the Pixar movie tier list is going to come out on probably next Saturday. Just because all I need to do is watch Soul. And then I'll have watched all the Pixar movies and can rank them. So, look out for that. But, yeah, I'm still debating if I'm just going to rank the DCEU films, or just like a bunch of the DC films, like the Dark Knight trilogy, the original Batman movies, you know, shitty ones like Green Lantern and Catwoman, which, spoiler alert, that would definitely be in D tier for both. But yeah, I would definitely say that Man of Steel is one of my favorites, if not my favorite one. Yeah, I already said that earlier. That is my favorite DC movie. But next up, we got Justice League. Came out the same year as Wonder Woman, 2017. And holy shit, this is a horrendous pile of horse shit. It's fun to see the team together and all that, but holy shit, fuck this movie. I mean, I think we all know this by now. This movie's not good, and the reason why is because, well, not the exact reason, but one of the reasons why is obviously Zack Snyder had a personal tragedy in his life, couldn't finish the film, so Joss Whedon came in and finished it up, and when you have two directors on it, kind of messes it up a little bit, so yeah, this movie was definitely not good, and I probably will never watch it again. Speaking of never watching it again, Aquaman 2018. I actually liked this movie quite a bit the first time I saw it, but after rewatching it, I hate it. And not because Amber Heard ruins it, even though she kind of a little bit does. But it's mostly just, wow, this movie's terrible. I hate the final fight. It's just a big CGI clusterfuck. There's just so many moments in this movie where I'm like, this is just not entertaining, even, really. Like, I was bored through most of it. And just waiting for it to be over. Especially towards the end, where it's just like, holy shit, can we wrap this up with all this fucking riding seahorses and stupid fucking underwater explosions? Like, fuck me, dude. Sorry to be a pessimist about these movies, and sorry if you liked them, but I think they're kind of, a lot of them are kind of horse shit. So yeah. Next up, we got Shazam, which came out in 2019. And while this movie isn't perfect, it's one of my favorites. This is actually in the A tier for me, for sure. Below Man of Steel, which would be in the S tier. But, yeah. Just because the villain isn't great, I don't think it's the worst villain in the DCEU history. Because that definitely either goes to Steppenwolf or Enchantress's brother, which I don't even fucking remember his name. That's how much I don't give a shit. But, or fucking Ocean Master. Fuck that. Oh my god. What a waste of a good actor on such a shitty role. But yeah, I fucking enjoyed the hell out of this because it had, like, a really nice story to it. You have Billy Batson, who is a foster kid, trying to look for his mom and all that, ends up with this family and meets Freddie Freeman, played by Jack Dylan Grazer. By the way, Billy Batson is played by Asher Angel. And Freddie is this crippled kid who is a big fan of superheroes, and basically what ends up happening is Billy gets summoned by a wizard and given the powers of Shazam, which when he says Shazam, he turns into a full-grown adult, and when he says it again, he turns back into a kid. Zachary Levi plays the grown-up version of Billy, Shazam, pretty much. This movie is just so fun. Like, I've heard people complain about how the tones, like, with, you know, having this nice family movie and then these seven deadly sins just, like, ripping apart a room of people. While it doesn't exactly show it, like, it's still pretty horrifying. Kind of reminded me of the Doc Ock scene in the hospital from Spider-Man 2. But just how horrifying it was. But it really doesn't bother me. It didn't make it feel like, oh, yeah, you can't balance these tones at all. I mean, I felt that a little bit, but I overlooked it because overall, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It has great acting, great comedy, super fun. And again, I said that just because it's a fun movie doesn't mean that it's a great movie. And it's not the perfect movie, but it's nearly there. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. Definitely one of my favorite DC movies. But not like Man of Steel level, because obviously Man of Steel is my favorite. Last DC movie to talk about, holy shit, Birds of Prey came out this year. Has Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Where's my notes on this, actually? There it is. Yeah, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. You got Journey Smollett, hopefully I'm saying that right, playing Dinah Lance / Black Canary. You have Rosie Perez playing Renee Montoya. Mary Elizabeth Winstead playing Helena Bertinelli / The Huntress. Ewan McGregor playing Roman Sionis. Ella J. Basco as Cassandra Cain. And Chris Messina playing Victor Zsasz. Overall, I had fun with this movie. I think, where did I rank this, actually? I think it might have been, like, maybe B or C tier. I think maybe B tier. But, yeah, I really loved this movie the first few times I watched it, but the more I watch it, the more I see its flaws. And there's definitely quite a few of them, but, I don't know. Overall, I had fun with it. The villain was, if it wasn't Ewan McGregor, I probably wouldn't have liked the villain as much as I did. But since it was him playing it, I enjoyed it more than I probably should have or would have if it was played by somebody else. But overall, you know, girl power. I enjoyed all the fun, badass moments that Harley Quinn got to have in this, as well as the Huntress and Black Canary. While Black Canary didn't get to fight as much, I feel like she still got quite a few good fight scenes in, especially in the ending when they're fighting in the funhouse. That was definitely no pun intended. It was a fun time to watch them all just kick ass together. The choreography in that scene too was really great. But overall, this movie just wasn't fully there for me. It was almost there, but just like it's just lacking a little bit of something. Some of the writing isn't great, and some of the pacing also is a little all over the place. But other than that, I think it's a fun movie. But again, as I've said, just because it's fun doesn't mean it's good. I think it's almost good, almost worth an A tier, but just not quite. So, not everything can be an A tier movie. But yeah, that is all I have to talk about today. Holy shit, that was a lot. Yeah, I'm definitely going to bed early tonight because holy shit, I'm tired. But yeah, that's all. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to me talk about DC movies and The Mandalorian and a bunch of movie news, especially going into that little rant about, you know, people not wearing masks and shit. That was kind of something unexpected. Didn't expect to go on a rant like my boy Tom Cruise. But sorry for all the paper noises. I'm putting shit away, which I should probably wait until after I'm done recording to do, but oh well. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at pop_culture_podcast, and I am on Facebook at popculturepodcast. I'm trying to think. Link in the bio on Instagram will take you to my website where you can find where else to listen to this to, the merch store, and how to get in contact with me. Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be back on Wednesday with the holiday special of this podcast to talk about a bunch of Christmas and holiday movies. And then I'll be back after Wednesday, I'll be back on Saturday to talk about Wonder Woman 1984, Pixar's Soul, as well as a couple other movies. So see you on the flippity flop.